I've done everything for Mulsey. He's done nothing for me. Shall we go see Rick Springfield together, Limits?
I think we should.
I think I actually remember singing that exact song to Mulsey when we worked together. How much are tickets? I'll treat.
I think it's at the... Rivers Casino.
Let's go there. We'll bet on games. We'll have a nice dinner and we'll see Rick Springfield.
I'd love to. You know, I wish that I had Jesse's girl. Another one we could have.
Then we could double date.
That's right.
We will do that. All right. A lot of Steeler things brewing here. I'm very glad, and I'm sure they are very glad, Alex Highsmith is apparently going to avoid surgery. He's an important player for them. Well, luckily, and this hasn't always been the case, they appear to have a pass-rushing demon in reserve here in Nick Herbig. This is going to be a fascinating study to see this guy. You know, so far he's been basically get after the quarterback guy. What's it going to be like when we actually watch him play? That's what I'm curious about. It's going to be a big storyline this weekend. Let's hear what Mike Tomlin said about Nick Herbig yesterday.
He's hardworking and humble, and I really think that tees up performance for him. But he also has ridiculous belief in self, and that's attractive to coaches. That's attractive to older players. He is not a guy that's ever scared.
Doesn't look like it. Looks like the people playing against him might be, especially the quarterbacks. I still can't get over how Slater, their left tackle, just appeared to be stunned by the quickness, by the first step that Nick Herbig showed. He is just an animal on the pass rush. He's fun to watch. What do you think we're going to see? Are we going to see a guy that makes us say, could he be better than Highsmith? Are we gonna at least have visions of that, or is that unrealistic?
Well, I'm a guy that already thinks that he maybe is better than Alex Highsmith.
How can you possibly think that without having seen him play a full game?
With the reps that he's taken and the limited amount of reps that he's taken, with more experience and more of an opportunity.
I'm sorry, that was the coffee talking.
That's completely fine. He'll be able to prove that he is as capable as Alex Highsmith is on the opposite side, especially with TJ Watt, because Watt takes so much attention, and everybody chips Watt, and it leaves typically Highsmith and Nick Herbig one-on-one. That helps.
Yeah, the other part of this is, okay, maybe for now it'll prove that he's mostly just a pass rush guy, but what about the other possibilities here? What if Nick Herbig is a star in waiting? What if he becomes the star of the game all over the field?
He has two sacks in this game against Anthony Richardson. I think the Steelers are going to have five sacks of Richardson. He's going to get knocked around.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Either way, it's a very intriguing storyline. And so is the wide receiver position. Tell me again what you saw from, was it Jeremy Fowler? Tell everybody about this story.
Yeah, Jeremy Fowler, Dan Graziano, in their Week 4 Buzz article they put out for ESPN, quote from the story, I expect them, being the Steelers, to continue to monitor the receiver trade market as the deadline approaches, pointing to Tennessee's DeAndre Hopkins, Jacksonville's Christian Kirk, as two veteran wide receivers who could conceivably become available and might be appealing to the Steelers.
Interesting. Jerry Dulac has asked several times in his chat this week, do you think they're still interested in a wide receiver too? And he says only in case of injury. He doesn't think that a big in-season trade is coming. Christian Kirk, he had 8 catches for 79 yards the other day. That's a broken offense. He's a pretty good player, Christian Kirk. Last year, 57 catches for 787. The year before, when Jacksonville was good, Trevor Lawrence's best year, 84 catches for 1,100 yards and 8 TDs. He would intrigue me. And then who was the other player you mentioned?
I lost it real quick. Christian Kirk and DeAndre Hopkins.
DeAndre Hopkins. Now, he's a little bit older. Let me get the actual lowdown on DeAndre Hopkins here. Well, not that much. He's 32. He has just 8 catches for 90 yards. Last year, though, he was a 1,000-yard receiver with 7 touchdowns. I remember him quite fondly from my fantasy team. 48 first downs last year, 14 yards a catch. Sign me up for either one.
I want a big move. And you know who the big move is.
Who?
Davante Adams. He does not look like he wants to be there. And even Antonio Pierce is saying about guys are maybe making business decisions out there on the field. Is DeAndre Hopkins that type of guy? Not going to say he is. That was making business decisions during that game, but he seems like a guy that would be completely fine with getting out of there. And the only reason that I think maybe he's staying there is that he's a UNLV guy. Or he's a Fresno State guy. He's a Vegas guy.
What does his contract look like in years to come here?
So he signed for two more additional seasons, but the cap hits around $35 million.
Yeah. Mel, maybe you could mitigate that by signing him even longer term. So the broader question here, the question really is, do the Steelers need that? They obviously think they do, regardless of how they've started the season. Their pursuit of Brandon Ayuk was very public, and they were willing to spend a ton of money because they obviously feel like they needed another big-time playmaker. Does a 3-0 start in which the offense hasn't exactly exploded? I thought they played very well the other day. Change their thinking on that? That's a pretty big decision to make. A pretty big evaluation of your own team to say, we want another guy and we're willing to spend tens of millions of dollars to get him. I don't think three games into any season you suddenly say, we don't really need that anymore. Forget that evaluation. I have to believe Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan still believe a number two receiver is necessary. So I'm very curious to see how things go with Davante Adams and the Raiders and to see who else might be available around the trade deadline. To me, that's a position that a guy can come in and do some things right away. I don't think you have to be ingrained into a system necessarily. Over time, you do. But you can help a team right away. Somebody named Sal asked Jerry Dulac on his weekly chat, which is must read, which is up at postgazette.com. If the Steelers were 6-2, 7-1 going into the bye, do you think Omar will be aggressive and look for a wide receiver? Jerry says no, unless there is a significant injury. And he said that repeatedly as people were curious about that. I still want them to get a guy. I was encouraged the other day. Calvin Austin, for the first time in his career, looked like he was more than just a gimmick guy or maybe one big play per season guy. He looked like he was an actual receiver, part of the offense. And Scotty Miller, in fact, they both look better than Van Jefferson to me. Scotty Miller looked like a guy who can make a couple things happen after he catches the ball. So yeah, I was encouraged, but both those guys still look like number threes to me, as does everybody else. And when I'm counting, I don't usually go 1 to 3. I like to stop at 2. I think they still need a guy. You?
They do. I mean, they kept saying it without saying it over and over in the offseason with all the talk around Brandon Ayuk, and that they didn't want to try to even look for other options other than Ayuk because they were so set on him and thought that the deal was going to get done. So the Steelers have admitted that they think that they need another wide receiver, even though the narrative has been that they don't. So yeah, if there's an opportunity that comes to them, and maybe it is Adams, maybe it's Christian Kirk, which is $20 million cap hit or so next year, then yeah, I think they do it. At least they try to pull the trigger, depending on what the price tag is going to be. But yeah, they definitely are still looking.
Jerry also made a point in his mailbag that I disagreed with about Fields. And him and Russell Wilson. Basically saying that Fields is playing the way the Steelers want him to, which is not to lose the game rather than to win it. That was clear in the first two games. I thought they asked him to win the Chargers game. I think any time you pass the ball more than you run it, which is what they did in that game, especially before that last drive where all they did was run and they shoved it down the Chargers' throats, they put the ball in his hands and said, win the game for us. Short, medium, whatever. Throw the ball and win it. I actually thought they did ask him to win a game, and he won it. You agree?
I agree. They gave him the true command of the offense, and part of that was utilizing the middle of the field. And they didn't run Fields either. They utilized him more as a passer than the other two instances that we've seen him over the course of the season. I don't know how you could not say otherwise that they didn't have him win that game with the way that he was delivering throws and commanding the offense. Yeah.
Passed more than they ran, even with all the running late in the game. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Coming up next, they call him the big boy, Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. That's fun to say, isn't it?
Very much so. He's a national insider.
We're very proud of him.
He's getting retweeted by Adam Schefter now.
He got fired and fell up. Only Cabali, right? On those two torn Achilles.
That's pretty impressive.
It really is. And he's covering WWE.
He did write a WWE Yeet article the other day. I saw him.
What does that mean? Yeet? Fill me in.
Yeah, so Yeet is a WWE, it's a wrestling term for one of the wrestlers. And it's kind of like a celebration or like a something of note.
I hate wrestling. I've never liked it. Ever since I was a kid, you know, I fell in love with sports, obviously, at an early age. But one of the reasons you fall in love with sports is the suspense of not knowing who's going to win.
Yeah,
I remember watching pro wrestling as a kid saying, this is not real. I don't like this. It's fixed. It's predetermined who's going to win.
Right. No, that's what I don't like about it either.
So you don't follow all these guys like Donnie Football and Malzi?
No, I have a couple friends that do, but I do not, no. I don't follow it at all.
I've done everything for Malzi. He's done nothing for me. We're going to this, okay?
All right. When is it?
I don't know.
We'll find out.
I can't stop singing. I've done everything for Malzi. He's done nothing for me. You know, from the break, I can't stop.
It's constant. I'm going to be hearing it. You were talking about your dreams to begin the show. I'm going to hear this in my dreams to start
well,
every single day.
You were joining in with it. You were finishing the song for me. We got to go to Rick Springfield. I know we've joked about this before, about going to concerts.
How many times have we joked about it?
Multiple. We'll stand on the top of our chairs and sing at the top of our lungs. You think Cabali would go?
No.
Well, let's ask him in a moment here. First, I'm looking up at the Pat McAfee Show right now. They just spent 10 minutes with Jeff Passan under the headline, "The Pittsburgh Pirates are at it again" with this Rowdy Tellez thing. Jerry Dulac was even asked in his chat. Now, Jerry's covered a lot of sports for a long time here in Pittsburgh. Somebody says, it's not Steelers, but I'd love to hear your opinion of the Pirates' cheap ways being showcased again with the DFA of Tellez. Dulac says, beyond just cheap, disgraceful, embarrassing, professionally and ethically reprehensible. Other than that, no opinion. So, yep, here we are. The Pirates making news in September, and it's not for what they're doing on the field. All right. Let's bring in Mark Cabali. Hello, big boy. You're on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Will you go? Let me see when this show is. Would you go to a concert?
No.
Why?
You said concert. No. I'm too old for that stuff.
We'll wheel you around. Is it because of your broken Achilles?
Who's Rick Springfield?
You know.
Eat your heart out, Rick Springfield? Yeah. Wait, that's a Jimmy Hart thing, isn't it?
I've done everything for you. What's the other one? Limits?
Jesse's Girl.
You know Jesse's Girl,
right?
Come
on, Mark.
It's at the Rivers Casino.
Mark, if I know Jesse's Girl, you definitely know Jesse's Girl.
Right.
I've hit a point in my life, maybe it will change, where if I have to leave the house, I'm pretty upset.
We'll pick you up.
Hopefully that changes pretty soon. I wasn't always like that, and I know a lot of people who are older than me aren't like that. I think I'm hitting this zone in life where everything outside of my living room couch makes me angry and ill.
Depressed? Limits and I will pick you up, and then we'll wheel you around in like a stroller or something. We'll put a little bonnet on you like you're a little baby. We'll wheel you around at the show.
You know, I would much rather talk about the Bucks and Rowdy Tellez. who was all over that about in about May? I can't remember who said the Bucks are going to be an utter disaster again. I can't remember that guy's name.
Was that you?
Come on. This stuff like this just makes you angry, man. I mean, I don't want to compare him to the Steelers. I don't want to compare him to a team like a player like Troy Polamalu. But, you know, when Polamalu retired, and when they have guys that retire, they have the ability, the Steelers, to get back some of their signing bonus. They basically say, keep it. You know, you've earned it. Or it's a parting gift. Buccos are like $12, and hey, we're going to cut you because we want to save $12.
I've just never really seen something like this in baseball. I'm sure it's happened, and I'm sure that they didn't think that somebody had access to his bonuses.
Yeah,
but it happened.
Sure. The NFL has incentives too that some people miss. You know, but what are we talking about here? I mean, a lot of people are saying Telez wasn't the nicest man in the world, but who cares? I mean, whatever. You get me fired up. Go ahead.
Who said he wasn't the nicest man in the world? I thought they loved him in the locker room.
I talk to people.
Oh, it's the old talk to people.
I talk to people. Nobody likes Rowdy Telez. I don't know why.
What do you mean nobody likes his the media or his teammates?
But I know any of his teammates. The people that deal with him on a routine basis.
Oh, who cares about them?
That's what I said too, but who cares if it was a jerk? I mean, who cares? Give him his $200,000.
Exactly. Mark Cavalli of the Pat McAfee Show. He's on the Sullivan Super Service Fan Hotline, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Where shall we start this week? How about this, big boy? How projectable is 3-0? Should the Steelers be now considered the favorite in the AFC North?
No, I don't think so. They're in better position than they probably thought they were going to be. I mean, it's helped that the Bengals are 0-3 right now, but you still have to take in consideration Baltimore. I mean, they got a tough schedule too, but I wouldn't say they're in, you know, hand it to them right now. A lot of we've covered this team a long time, Joe, and we've seen crazy things happen, and 3-0 can turn to 3-3 to 3-6 in a hurry here. So
of
they're in
course.
Good position right now, but I wouldn't say that they're, you know, guaranteed going to make the playoffs and win a division.
Nobody asked you that. With due respect,
can't remember
Mark,
what you asked.
I asked, are they now to be considered the favorite in the AFC North? Okay.
I would say the favorite. I would say them and Baltimore about even.
Okay. Then we'll move on to this one. Is this Mike Tomlin's best defense since 2010? And before you say we'll find out, I want an opinion now. Is it headed in that direction? Do you think it is the best since 2010? I know there are 14 games left.
I mean, it's pretty hard to dispute those three games and what they were able to do. I love that 2010 team, but that 2008 team defense was probably better in my opinion. 2009, too. I mean, that 8, 9, and 10 were pretty spectacular defenses. But, I mean, it looked, to me, I think they have more talent, raw talent on this side of the defense than they had these other teams that we're talking about here. So, yeah, I mean, I think this could very well go down as his best defense right now because they have stars in every location right now, and they got depth too, and everybody's playing well, and it's not like they're going to be facing some juggernaut teams over the next 6 or 7 weeks either. Sure, they can lose, but sure, they can shut them down as well. So, yeah, they're in the conversation as of we speak right now.
Man, you just said a mouthful that I don't agree with, and I'm the one who's been raving about this defense.
I don't even know what I said.
You just said this defense has more talent than the 2008 defense?
I'm close.
All right, let's go. I'm not even disagreeing necessarily, but let's do a little exercise together, shall we, big boy?
Okay.
Let's start up front. Aaron Smith, Casey Hampton, Brett Kiesel. From left to right.
It's tough because they play a different style of defense.
No, get into all the qualifiers. Let's just
hold up the
rate the players. You're the one who said it, not me.
Well, yeah, but if you're strict, I mean, this is benefiting me because if you're strictly going by stats, these guys are going to have better stats than those guys.
I didn't even say anything yet. All I did was read the players' names. Smith.
What I'm saying is defensive line's a tough way to start, but go ahead.
Well, where the hell else are you going to start? We're going front to back.
What I'm going to say is, no matter what you say, just how they play the defensive line and with the one gap and the two gaps type of stuff is going to benefit the current team rather than them. But go ahead. Okay. That's what I say. Right now, I'm winning.
For gap's sakes, let's just go with this, okay?
I'm 1-0 winning.
I haven't even started yet. All I said was
defensive line. I won.
Aaron Smith, Casey Hampton, and Brett Kiesel compared to Larry Ogunjobi, Keanu Benton, and Cam Hayward. How would you rate the two? That's all.
I'm rating this one better.
Okay.
For aforementioned stuff that I mentioned.
Fair enough, I should say. I'm not. I think Aaron Smith in his prime, Brett Kiesel in his prime, and Casey Hampton. I mean, I love Keanu Benton's potential.
I love those guys. I love those guys too, man. But
I'd give that one in 2008 a slight edge. That's all. This is all an exercise in fun.
Okay.
Linebackers. Lamar Woodley, James Farrier, Larry Foote, and James Harrison compared to T.J. Watt, Patrick Queen, who?
Nick Herbig.
Nick Herbig? Give me the other inside linebacker. Who am I missing?
Landon Roberts? Willis?
Let's go with Landon Roberts.
Peyton Wilson?
Landon Roberts and Alex Highsmith / Nick Herbig. But really, I mean, Alex Highsmith.
All right, I'm breaking into two here. I'd say outside linebackers, the current team is better. The inside linebackers, the 08 team's better.
Holy horse follicles. Wasn't Harrison the defensive player of the year that year?
Well, T.J. Watt has 30 more sacks than him in his career.
No, I know. Believe me, T.J. Watt, I think, is a better player than Harrison, but Harrison, in his prime, at his very best, was awfully close as a game wrecker. And then Lamar Woodley, to me, in his prime, is better than Highsmith. I'm rating that one a draw.
It looks like you're already given the win to the 2018 there, Joe. So this is a exercise in futility.
Limits, how is he jumping? I haven't even done this exercise. I don't even know what I'm
really
going to say. I don't even know what I'm going to say yet. I gave the defensive line you're talking about one of the great defenses in Steelers history. I gave the defensive line a slight edge, and then I have a draw at outside linebacker. So I don't know.
Mark just keeps beating you to the punch.
I know. Let's go to inside linebacker. Inside linebacker, clearly the 08 team because of Farrier.
Yeah, Farrier, Footy. Two very good players right there. So, yeah, hands down, I say the inside.
Okay. So you're at 2-1 for this year's team, which is fine. I respect your opinion, which is why I'm asking it. You've become very hostile toward me. The cornerbacks, Ike Taylor and Bryant McFadden, compared to Joey Porter Jr. and Dante Jackson.
You're probably going to have to give that one to B-Mac and Ike. Ike, to me, was one of the top. He might be the second best cornerback the Steelers have ever had. So I have to give it to Ike. I think underrated.
I think I would, too. And then the safeties is clear cut. Troy and Ryan Clark. I love Minka. But him and Elliott compared to Troy Polamalu and Ryan Clark, to me that's a...
So they're not even close in your eyes then. So why'd you ask me is this the first place?
Because I did the exercise along with you. You seem to be assuming that I had this all in my mind. I'm just doing it with you.
You're in a good mood and I'm making you in a bad mood. I think my job is almost done here.
Can we go back to Pony calling Bob as George in Washington to lighten the mood here? I can't believe Bob fell for that, Mark. Can you?
I can't believe Bob texted me at 2 in the morning last night like I was going to be up.
About what?
Forget it.
I
probably shouldn't say it over the air.
You hear about Bob's big night on the town with Romo and Nance on Saturday?
Really?
Yes.
Bob is a huge Nance fan.
I know. Me and City Limits here confronted Bob about this the other day when he dropped a little nugget. They all went out to dinner. So anyway, I thought that would be a fun exercise. It turned out to be interesting, but quite frankly, not that fun. So let's move on. Justin Fields, give him a grade so far this season, and you tell me if he's going to be the starter the rest of the year.
Oh, I don't think he's going to be starter the rest of the year, no. I think Russell Wilson will get in there. I just don't know when. I don't know if it's going to be in 2 weeks, 3 weeks, or 8 weeks, but I think he'll eventually make his way in there, and it's not going to be because of Fields' injury. It's going to be some ineffectiveness going on. And my phone just went nuts here. My phone, it's going to be ineffectiveness. I would say I'd give him a solid B right now, maybe a little bit higher just because he's able to manage the game and win the game. Still, I don't think he's – plus he's getting better as the week goes, as the season goes on. You can't discount that. But I still think there's a lot of plays out there that need to be made. So I think a solid B for him so far. And if I would have told you that a month ago, you probably would have jumped at that, right? I mean
– Yes, I would have jumped.
It's hard to complain of what he's done, but you always want to look at it and say, is this going to translate over the next 10 or 12 weeks to be able to win a division when you get down in games, when you're playing teams, divisional games, when you're playing the Chiefs and the Eagles and teams like that? That's still a question in my eyes.
50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. All right. Well, let's get into this game. What scares you, if anything, about the Colts?
Jonathan Taylor's talented, but the Steelers stopped the run better than mostly any team at all. I just worry about that potential letdown. I mean, we saw it last year when they went there. I know that was a totally different team and different timing of the year and different quarterback situation, but I would say that would scare me the most. Running behind the big Q with Jonathan Taylor and having Anthony Richardson make some plays with his feet, that can screw up a lot of things, even though he has not been consistent this year. So put it this way, if they lose this game, Joe, I think it might be because of the defense and not the offense, how crazy that might sound.
Why do you say that?
Just for what I just told you, man. I mean, I think they can potentially have the ability to run the ball. I think they'll have the potential to make some big plays with Richardson, and I think Pittman's good, plus it's a road game. They give up 24 points or something like that. I think that's a little bit too much for the offense. The offense could put up points against this defense, but I think it will be – if they're going to lose, it's going to be in the 20s. If they win, it's going to be in, you know, the low teens. So that's the way I look at it. So I think – if the defense does their one touchdown, 9 points per game, they'll win this game. But there's always that possibility of Jonathan Taylor running for, you know, 130 yards, and they can't find a way to stop Anthony Richardson.
Limits, may I engage Mark in an extended game of free association? I've done everything for Mosey. He's done nothing for me.
Yes, you can.
I think you've taped that. Yes. Mark, you ready for this?
As long as I don't have to sing, I'm good.
You know how the game goes. Short answers, sometimes one word.
Okay.
Nick Herbig will prove eventually that he's better than Alex Highsmith.
Yeah, you leave these open-ended questions, don't you?
Actually, it's not open-ended. It's yes or no.
Oh, I mean, 5 years, yeah, but not right now, no.
5 years, Nick Herbig will show over the next 3 weeks that he's better than Alex Highsmith.
I don't think so.
This has become very contentious today with the big boy.
I think the gap is going to continue to shrink, though, Mark. He needs to get better in the run game, but as a pure pass rusher, first step speed, he's got it.
Did you hear what Limits just said?
He's gotten better in the run game, so, I mean, we can't even use that as an excuse.
Nick Herbig is a legit starter in the NFL.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
T.J. Watt will break the sack record this year, which I believe would give him 23 sacks.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely.
You have at least mild concern about Najee because he was in a sling the other day.
No. I mean, when you touch the ball as much as he does and physical he is, sometimes you get a little banged up.
Sometimes you have your arm in a sling when that happens. I know. Jaylen Warren. What's the situation with him in 5 words or less?
Not going to play.
Steelers win this game?
No, I picked the Colts to win this game.
Number one reason the Colts will win this game?
Justin Fields, two turnovers. I just went against my thing, my previous statement. So I think it, they won't be able to stop Jonathan Taylor.
The Steelers will still trade for a number two receiver before the deadline.
I think a good possibility.
We've seen reports from our old friend Jeremy Fowler that Christian Kirk, DeAndre Hopkins are two guys that could be out there. If it came down to those two, which would the big boy prefer?
D-Hop, you already got Christian Kirk. Two Christian Kirks on this team, don't you? With Calvin Austin and Roman Wilson. I need a bigger guy that can, a veteran guy who can go down the field a little bit more. Give me D-Hop. Plus, I think that's more of a guy that Tomlin would go after or like.
That was too long of an answer.
Oh,
who
well,
do you like better?
Stuff happens.
So far, Scotty Miller, really based on last week's game. Were you more encouraged by the Scotty Miller performance or the Calvin Austin performance?
Calvin Austin, I think, real quick, I will expand a little bit. I think Calvin Austin has that speed you just can't teach, man. He can turn that 20-yarder into a 55-yarder.
Bengals will still make the playoffs.
No.
Over under 2.5 weeks before we see Mason Rudolph start a game in Tennessee.
Let's hope it's before that. I would say under.
Steelers sacks of Anthony Richardson. Over under 4.5.
Under.
Thank you, big boy. I have no further questions. Did I miss anything? Limits? Any special topic from back to front?
I don't believe so. I think you touched on pretty much everything.
When's Russell Wilson going to be declared healthy? If you had to guess.
Is Tomlin going to declare him healthy or is Russell going to declare himself healthy? I think that's the bigger question.
Do you think if Russell were in his prime in Seattle right now, he'd be playing these games?
Yeah, I think he's closer. Don't look always what you see on 5-second clips on the internet of him going through walkthroughs because he didn't roll out. I think he's close. They just want to make sure he's 1,000,000%, and until that happens, go with the guy with the hot hand. So that's the way they're playing it.
Would you recommend to other teams on the first few days of training camp to have their quarterbacks run into blocking sleds, Mark?
Well, I would love to know exactly what happened there.
What did happen there? You should know. You're the savvy old news hound.
Here's the problem. For some reason, they moved it. They said we weren't allowed to do all these things. And we don't know when Tomlin's coming down, so nobody actually, for the first time, like, ever went to watch the run test. Ever. And that happens. How about that? So we don't know. Whoever knows is just guessing.
Thank you, big boy. You're a philanthropist, you're a spiritual guru, you're a patriot, and you're an example to City Limits every day of your life.
Yeah, I want to hear a song about me next time I come on, but
maybe.
I'll give you a week to figure that out.
We can whip something up for you. Appreciate the time.
All right, brother.
There he goes, Mark Cabali. That was very testy, I thought unnecessarily so early on. I wanted to engage in a fun exercise of comparing this with the 08 team because he said it was better, and things went south, didn't they?
It was contentious, and that'll be our social video for today. You and Cabali going back and forth on the 08 team.
I think this is better than the 2010 team, but the 2010 team, for example, guys like Harrison and Woodley had started to fade a little bit. They had started to fade. In 08, I know that was only 2 years earlier, but 2 years is a lifetime in the NFL. I mean, imagine going 7 years, for example, without coming close to a playoff win. Not that that would ever happen. Prime Woodley and Harrison. Woodley better than Highsmith, period. Harrison and Watt, close. I give Watt the edge for sure, but let's not forget the very best of James Harrison. I haven't seen a whole bunch of game wreckers like that.
Right, but TJ Watt wins that. At least he should. Wait, I mean, he broke James Harrison's record in how many fewer games? All-time sack record?
I give TJ the edge. Yes. I give TJ the edge. Okay.